Good evening, everyone. I seem y'all paying attention. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone out this morning. Hope, trust, and pray that you come for the express purpose of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. With that being said, worship is serious business. We should be focused on worshiping Him while we're here. So let us hold and lay aside things like passing notes, anything else, side conversations. That is not the place for worship. Amen. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. So worship is to be about spirit and truth. So let us refrain from doing that. With that being said, let us get into our lesson. I don't normally do this, but you know, sometimes certain things dictate me covering it. Now, our wonderful class this morning, as I was thinking and teaching the class this morning, I thought about it, and between the time service started, I prayed. So I'm going to change up my subject because I feel this may help somebody today. Turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. For those in my class, know this is part of it. I'm going to dig into detail with it, but from time to time, we have moments like this. And then what I'm going to do, I understand you had a wonderful adult class, so if you're riding with me for a little while on that, I already had it planned. We're going to talk about, I think what I was told that some of the discussion was about, we're going to cover that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about exactly what is the church, what constitutes the church, and, you know, is the church's name to be used in a proper name context? We're going to cover all that. It's coming. But just ride with me on that. I want to make sure I do the justice with it. But sometime I wanted to change things up. I had originally scheduled to talk about the Book of Enoch. I'm going to begin to do that next week. But, you know, sometimes you just get a feeling for folks. And sometime in life, and sometime, especially this time of year, you know, a lot of folks get stressed out. You know, so we're going to learn some lessons from Elijah. Everybody know who the prophet Elijah was, right? So we had a wonderful class on that this morning. So my subject title this morning is Eat and Take a Nap. Eat and Take a Nap. You may say, well, Brother Curtis, I was going to do that anyway this afternoon. You don't have to tell me to do that. But sometimes in life, you need to learn to eat and take a nap. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'm pretty sure it's on you, as I said before, on this agenda this afternoon, but sometimes it can do wonders to our soul. Sometimes it can recharge us spiritually, more importantly, and also physically. Sometimes it helps us put things in perspective. When we get used to running on this rat race we call life, and running here and running there and busy about really, in the end, nothing. Because the only thing that matters is what you do for Christ. The only thing that's going to mean anything in the judgment is what you do for Christ. About maybe a month ago, I taught a lesson on Mary and Martha. And that kind of ties into this lesson as well, because sometimes we get busy about the wrong stuff. We get busy doing things that really don't matter in the end, and we lose focus of what it's about. But I'm going to talk about just the prophet Elijah, because this is what our class is on this morning, so I'm going to give it to us as an entire class. Elijah, subject title again, is Go Eat and Take a Nap. Let's back up to 1 Kings 18. We're going to begin at verse number 36 here, just to paraphrase a little bit and get you caught up on it. Here again is Elijah, and he's dealing with all those false prophets of the nation of Israel at this point in time, basically worshiping false God, and he's dealing with them, and he's going to deal with them on a place called Mount Carmel. But I want you to see some stuff, because I want you to see how quickly things can change in your life. Notice what it says in 1 Kings 18:36. It says this, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening service that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell down and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So here again is Elijah. Now, most folks will understand this, and this is when Elijah called down fire from heaven. Can you imagine that? You praying, and you're so close and so in tune to God that you call down fire from heaven to your enemy. And he destroys every last one of them. He kills them all based on this. He made fun of them earlier in this chapter, saying maybe you need to cry a little louder to your false gods. So how in the world can somebody go from this person, who is so strong in God's word, to what we see in 1 Kings 19? And it says this in the beginning of verse 19. Let's skip down to 19 verse 1. And it says this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. So here again, Jezebel and Ahab, mainly Jezebel, that's a whole other lesson of itself. She's talking about, I'm going to do the same thing to you. I'm putting it in everyday's language. Same thing you did to my prophet, I'm going to do to you. Right. Now you would think, Elijah being the great prophet that he is, he was just 450. What's one more? 450 plus one. He just dealt with 450. So what's one more? So let's see what he does in verse number 3. And he says this. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Oh, my goodness. He left running scared. Now, you may say, well, how does this happen? And the point I'm trying to make is there are times in life that we're on our spiritual A game, but there are also times in life when we don't know whether we're coming or going. There are times in life, and it happens to all Christians. And the reason why I said it is I think sometimes, you know, we believe that Christians shouldn't have problems in these feelings. We believe Christians shouldn't have bouts of depression when every character that we see in the Bible dealt with this same situation. Just because we have become Christians and just because we name the name of Christ does not mean that we won't have these struggles in our life. There are many folks who say, well, you're a Christian now, you shouldn't have these. Well, tell that to Elijah. Well, you a servant of God, well, tell that to David. You shouldn't cry and you shouldn't be upset about stuff. Well, tell that to Jesus. You shouldn't worry about when folks let you down. Well, tell that to Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And them folks couldn't even stay woke for an hour with him. We're all in the same boat. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because sometimes what happens is that during these moments, we handle things the wrong way. Let's see what else it tells us in 1 Corinthians 19. Verse 4 says this, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down upon a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. But wait a minute. We just read in 1 Kings 18 how this same fella prayed and said, I've done all you've done. God, deal with these folks. What happened? Who was this person named Jezebel that he was so scared of? And who was Ahab? Who was her henpecked husband? Let me put it like that. Who was he? Why was Elijah feeling this way? Well, before we condemn Elijah, understand that we're the same way when circumstances change. We get the picture here that this fear, this anxiety towards Ahab and Jezebel just didn't begin with that decree when she sent out. This was a stronghold in his life. And sometimes Satan attacks us. Seems like we're at the top of our mountain. He attacks us at our strongholds in life. So if you're in a situation now where you don't know whether you're coming or going, maybe you're in a situation now that the load is so heavy that you just kind of want to die, hang in there. Eat and take a nap. Sometimes when we look at life, we say things like this. If not for no problem, not for problems, I wouldn't have a life at all. It seems like it's just one problem after another. This goes wrong. That goes wrong. I'm dealing with this. I ain't got that. I'm feeling this way. And it just seems like it's just snowballing on me. But the solution was to eat and take a nap. And I'm going to prove to you why that's important sometimes to do in life. So here again in verse number 4, he goes a day's journey by himself. One of the things about depression and anxiety is it isolates us. We become isolated. Sometimes that's the last thing we need to do, but when you're in those points, maybe it is a situation where you don't want to cast this burden on anybody else. Maybe sometimes you just feel so unworthy in your life that you feel that you don't even deserve a close friend. Maybe sometimes in life the problem gets so heavy, or maybe sometimes we believe that the problems that we deal with are going to taint and fall on somebody else, just like a spread of disease or something. We've been there before. Somebody asks you how you doing, you say, oh, I'm all right, I got this. Well, you know you don't. Somebody says, well, can I help you? First thing that comes out of your mouth, nope, I got it. And that's the last thing that comes out of your mouth, but we've been there before. And sometimes we condemn folks who do these things, but I want us to really look at this from another perspective. Maybe he just didn't want to burden his servant with it. Now, his servant was with him. His servant was probably the one that lit the fire that we just talking about, that basically, excuse me, not lit the fire, but wet the altar, at least. This servant with him his whole life. One of the things that happens sometimes when we're dealing with depression and anxiety is those folks who've been on board the whole time, we kind of leave behind. Yeah. I don't need to burden them with this. But sometimes all we need to do is to put things in perspective is to eat and take a nap. Why do we keep saying that, Brother Curtis? We're getting ready to get into it in a second. I'm not going to be long with us this morning. And then it says this in verse number 5. And it says, and as he lay and slept upon a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. Now, I don't know about you. I mentioned this in our wonderful class. I was like, you know what? He was already sleeping. Yeah. So you mean you're going to wake me up to eat so I can go back to sleep? What sense that make? But there were some points made in class that said this. He probably wasn't really resting. Have you ever been trying to sleep and not really getting sleep? Sometimes that makes you more tired than if you stayed up all night. You're tossing and turning. You can't turn stuff off in your mind. Your problems follow you to the bed, and you're there with them, and you try to close. And sometimes you even try to pray, and then problems enter your prayers. Sometimes you try to get up, like, well, let me read a little bit of the Bible. And all we can focus on the scripture. And then sometimes you say, well, I just need to lay down and relax. I need to count sheep, whatever that's supposed to do for some folks. I ain't gonna work for me. Maybe I'm counting the wrong animal. I ain't never really liked sheep, but maybe I need to count buffaloes. I like buffaloes. I count buffaloes next time. So think about that for a moment. Think about your situation. You may say, not me, but I can guarantee you that sometimes when you look back in your life that you had your Elijah moments. And one of the things I don't think we do a good job of as Christians is letting other folks know that we've been down that same road. You know, sometimes I think we feel ashamed. Sometimes we feel weak. But sometimes that's what folks need to hear. They need not only to hear where you are now, but how you made it to where you got. Because you didn't make it by yourself. And you didn't make it without these moments. Now, you may have called them something else. You know, you may have considered a sign of weakness, but it's not a sign of weakness because Elijah is one of the strongest men in the Bible. So much so that he was one of the ones who didn't taste death, as I talked about last week. There were two men who never tasted death, Enoch and Elijah. He was in a special relationship with God, and he still had these moments. Just because we're Christians, just because we're the people of God, does not mean that we won't have our Elijah moments. And that's what needs to be told today, because we have a world out there seeking something beyond this world and what it has to offer. We have a God in us that brought us through so many things, and how dare we keep our mouths shut when we have so many people out there suffering. You know how you made it. Tell somebody how you made it. Tell somebody who brought you through your struggles. Tell somebody that, guess what, I was in the same boat you were, but oftentimes, nope, not me. Yeah, you too. You called it something different. Yeah. Whatever you did the same thing I did. You may have called it something different and used different means to do it, but the Bible, your Bible and mine, book of Ecclesiastes tell us that there's nothing new under the sun. So what is the solution when you get to this point? So he tells them to arise and eat. Like I said before, he was already sleeping, sound like. But maybe it wasn't the type of sleep that we need. It was not restful sleep. Maybe what he needed was to look at things. And notice what he says in verse number 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking in the coals and the cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Now he wakes up. Now I don't get the picture that he had no McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. But evidently this angel, because they manifested themselves in the flesh, made him some bread and water. You mean to tell me that the start of my solution to my problems is just to eat and rest? I'm telling you, oftentimes that's exactly where it starts. Sometimes we have to learn to put things in perspective. Sometimes we have to stop selling and sacrificing our future and saying, woe is me and it's never going to get better, to the point where we don't even take time to slow down and eat. What slowing down and eat does is it helps you realize who's really in control. And guess who it ain't? It ain't you and I. It's not us. We can't handle the problem. Matter of fact, we're going to see that. Notice what he tells them. Let's go on down a little bit more in verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came to him a second time and said, arise and eat. Well, you just told me to do it, and I did it. So what? I got to wake up and eat again. You waking me out of my sleep again to eat? So it must have been something in eating. Notice what else he says, Elder Dick, because this is many folks would have jumped off board. Because this journey is too great for you. So you're going to wake me up to tell me my problems are too big for me to handle? That's what you're telling me. That's what you're telling me, to eat this little bit of bread, drink this water, and you're going to tell me it's too big for me? But that's exactly what we need to be. Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this, from when I'm weak, I'm strong. Maybe God's got to get us to the point where we realize that whatever situation we're dealing with is too big for us, it's been too big for us, and it's going to continue to be too big for us, but it's not too big for God. That's where our confidence needs to lie. Not in ourselves, not in doctors, right, not in things getting better on this world, but we serve a God that says no problem is too big for me. Right. But you'll never realize it until you slow down, eat, and take a nap. You'll never realize who's on your side until he opens your spiritual eyes. Now turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to prove to you at this point in time, and sometimes in our own lives, our eyes are closed. Well, not my eyes. I see everything. I got eyes in the back of my head sometimes, we say, right? Well, let's look and see what Elisha. Elisha is a little different. He took over for Elijah after Elijah was taken up into heaven. He was his predecessor. So let's see what it says. We're going to begin at verse number 12 of 2 Kings chapter 6. And it says this. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent there the horses and chariots and the great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, as host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do about it? Now notice what Elijah's response was. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now let's talk about this in real life terms. You come out the house, you go sit on your front porch, and you see an army surrounding you. You come back in and tell the master of the house, the person who owns the house, what are we going to do? They're surrounding us. And he says, don't worry about it. We got more folks on our side than they do on theirs. Well, what picture you looking at? What you talking about? I just went outside and I saw all these horses and chariots. I saw all these things pointed at us. I saw the whole deck stacked against us. What are you talking about? What, Elijah, are you blind? Did you see what I see? Most of us would have took Elijah right over there and said, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I want you to see what I'm seeing. Because that's what we do sometimes. We want folks to see what we're seeing, and we don't even see the whole picture ourselves. But if you see what I'm seeing, then maybe you'll feel the way I feel. And that's partly true, but I want you to look at something that Elijah said. He didn't condemn him. He didn't persecute him. He didn't say you were weak in faith. He didn't say you needed to grow up. He didn't say any of these things. He said this. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Well, wait a minute. I just saw what I saw, right? I know what I saw. I saw enemies around me. I saw pain around me. I saw problems around me. I saw finances around me. I saw family around me. And you mean to tell me you pray for my eyes open? Matter of fact, Elisha, you may need to open your eyes. I think you're the one daydreaming. We say that sometimes, don't we? Even when we're talking to God in our own prayers. God, I know what you said, but do you understand what I'm dealing with? Do you understand my problem, my situations, my circumstances? God, you must not be seeing the same problem I am. This problem is big. You know what? It's taking my time, my efforts, my resources, my energy. I don't feel like doing anything. Yada, yada, yada. And we complain to God, and all he's saying is, I pray your eyes be open. What eyes is he talking about? He's not talking about physical eyes. He is talking about spiritual eyes. See, one of the things we have to do when we come up against problems, situations, circumstances in our life is stop looking at them through our physical eyes and look at them through our spiritual eyes. And then you'll be able to see that with you and God, you are more than enough to handle any situation that comes your way. Anything that comes your way, you and God can handle it. More likely, and more so, God. Because we just read in 1 Kings chapter 19 that the angel said, this is too much for you. But we're going to get to that in a moment because that's a profound statement that we need to sometimes say ourselves. But notice he says, he prays that his eyes are open that he may see. See what? The real picture. See what? That I promised to be a friend and stick it closer than a brother. See what? That I am the Lord God Almighty and there's nothing too hard for me. See what? That I'm the God who said you can move mountains. See what? That you and the problem that is bringing you down and taking away your joy and your peace in life is nothing compared to me. That's what he's saying. That's what I want us to get out of. And then it says this, and the Lord opened the eyes. See, one of the things we have to be able to do is, whenever we're going through problem situations, the last thing we need to do is stay away from God. But it's oftentimes, just like Elisha did with his servant who was there with him the whole time, I got this. I'm just going to just handle this myself. No, sir, no, ma'am. We have a God who wants us to bring those problems to us. We have a God who says, I'll help you carry the load. You don't have to carry it by yourself. And then it says in the end of verse 17, 2 Kings chapter 6, he says this, and behold, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Now, he was able to see past his problem and see the real picture. The reason why we're still sometimes in this situation or in this mindset and handicapped by this is because we don't see the real picture the way it is. God has so many things in store for us. God promises to be there with us no matter what in life. But if we're looking at it through our physical eyes, we'll never see it. The reason why many folks walk away from God at the wrong time is because they're looking at problems with their physical eyes. God says there's another set of eyes I want you to see things with. I want you to see that whatever this life throws at you is nothing compared. And whatever torment, whatever problems, whatever it is in this world that we have to deal with, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but our light afflictions are but for a moment. Whatever this world throws at you compared to eternity is light afflictions. You can flick it off. Well, you may say, well, you don't understand. Well, you're looking at it through your physical eyes. Compared to your spiritual eyes and eternity, it is but a light affliction. You may say, my cancer, my disease is not a light affliction. In terms of eternity, it is. But my problems in my family is not a light affliction. In terms of eternity, it is. My job situations is not a light situation, not a light problem. In terms of eternity, it is. Are you looking at things through your spiritual eyes? God has something so much for so for us. And he gives us lessons like this. But let us go back over and wrap this thing up. I won't get a chance to finish everything I want to say in 1 Kings chapter 19, but I want to look at some stuff. A few more things, the lesson's yours. And it says this. Verse number 7, I read again for emphasis' sake. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he did. He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the Mount of Horeb. So we get the picture here that because he listened to the angel, this meal lasted him 40 days and 40 nights. Church, that's not physically possible. Our body needs more food than that. Now, Christ was the only one I know in Scripture that fasted from both bread and water for 40 days and 40 nights. But I want you to think about how miraculous the strength of God is. So when you get weak, you need to live on his strength. When you can't take any more, that's when you depend on his strength. And you'll be surprised at how far you can go. I get the picture here that Elijah just went 40 days. His ribs never touched. He never got parched to death, so to speak. Well, how did that happen? Just like it happened for 40 years with the nation of Israel. Now imagine them. They were in the wilderness, and the whole time they were complaining, they never realized that the shoes never wore out. They never realized that the clothes never wore out. They never realized that it was God who was providing manna for them. It was God who was sending quails dropping out of the air by a strong east wind, dropping out of the air. Nobody had a slingshot, BB gun, or nothing. They never realized it was God providing for them the whole time. And all they wanted to do was murmur and complain. See, that's why God considers the sin of murmur and complain as such a grievous sin, because when we do that, and that's all that comes out of our mouth, we forget who really sustains us. That's what we see here. And what did Eve have to do? What was the angel's solution? Eat and take a nap. But what did it allow Elijah to do? We're not going to get into the rest of it because time is gone. Verse 9 through 14 and 15, he asked him some rhetorical questions. God, y'all know he asked rhetorical questions, right? Rhetorical questions means question that people ask you that you already know the answer. You know the answer to. Because he asked him, Elijah, what you doing in the cave? And as I said in class this morning, well, God, if you don't know, then no, nobody know, do they? Then the next question asked me is, well, where are you going? Wait a minute, where am I going? Well, God, if you don't know where I'm going, then we both going to be lost, right? And then he allows him to see some stuff. I want to go down to verse number 11 and 12. And some people didn't understand this. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and before the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, why do some people say that? Because it said the Lord was not in it. You would think the Lord was in it. But the point I made to our wonderful class this morning is, everything that happened to you, God didn't bring to your doorstep. Let me say it again. Everything you're dealing in your life, God didn't bring to your doorstep. There are some things that we go through in this life that have just happened to us, that we deal with just because we're on this side of living. Maybe the sickness or illness that you're dealing with is not necessarily a curse. Maybe the situation that you're in, maybe you just brought some evil folk. And God said, he never said that we wouldn't be affected by the actions of others. This is the name of abuse. Most folks who are being abused or had to deal with abuse, the thing that drives them crazy is, what did I do to deserve it? How did I cause this? Well, maybe you didn't do anything to cause that. Maybe you had nothing to do with that. Maybe it's because somebody who had a sick mind and an evil mind did these things to you. But if you never realize that God wasn't in it, you're going to end up blaming God for it. And that's when it really gets tough. Because the one person that can help you deal with it, you already number him in that number of causing these things to you in your life. God wasn't in this, but he allowed Elijah to see that things happened. He allowed Elijah to see that he was going to be protected in the middle of these things, because we get the picture here, earth maybe cracked open, Elijah didn't fall in it. The wind blew, he didn't get knocked down. Fire happened, he didn't get burned. Who do you think was protecting him? So even though things happen to us in life, God still promises to be with us. Oh, my. And all it started with was him eating and taking a nap. Eating and taking a nap. So in conclusion, my time is gone. In conclusion, maybe you're dealing with some situations in life that got you wishing you weren't here anymore. Maybe you're dealing with some situations in life that you know and everybody else know that's too big for you to handle. Maybe you're in a circumstance that you've been trying to pray your way out of, to make better, do everything you can in your life. And maybe you're at the point now where you've already taken a day's journey away from everybody else and said, God, all I want to do is die. God has a different plan for you. But the first thing you got to do is get a handle on the situation. The first thing you got to understand that, yes, it may be big, too big for you, but it's not too big for God. And when we do that, our eyes, our spiritual eyes become open. When we do that, we're able to see that my situation is not hopeless. I don't have to have a death sentence by it. I don't have to continue to deal with the situations and the thoughts that are really controlling my life. I don't have to have that. I don't have to live in that anymore. It don't mean I won't visit it, but sooner or later, God expects us to come out the cave. Y'all know that, right? Sooner or later, he's going to allow us on the edge to see life as it really is. Sooner or later, he's going to pray and continue to pray that our spiritual eyes be open. And when it does, it changes our whole point of view about things that we're dealing with. Now, I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I know we're dealing with a variety of injuries. You may know some stuff. We may know some stuff. Or you may be dealing with something that nobody knows about. And maybe you're at the point now, just like Elijah. You know what? I know better than my father's. Same thing happened to my daddy, my granddaddy. I ain't nobody. Who am I? That's what he's saying. That's what he said in 1 Kings 19. But he forgot that he was somebody. He forgot that he was the same one that God gave power to call down fire from heaven on. He forgot that. But we do too sometimes. And all you have to do sometimes is look back and see all the things that God has brought you through. I don't know about you, but when I get in my little spiritual funk and I start to throw my, what I call, woe is me parties, I got to look backwards. Because then I'll see. There were some times that he carried me and sustained me. There were some times that the stuff I did in my past that I should have been long gone, and you probably too. Why are we still here? It ain't you. It's in spite of you. Newsflash, it's in spite of you. Why are we still here? Why is God still putting up with wretched, raggedy, sinful folks like us? Because he wants us to see the real picture. He wants us to see that through Christ, we can make it to heaven. He wants us to see that the only hope we have of making it to heaven is the bloodstained banner of Christ. And I said this because many of us think that I got enough righteous stuff on this side, on this ledger in my life. I got enough of that, so you know what? I'm going to scale into heaven. No, sir, no, ma'am. Because your Bible of mine says the righteous barely going to make it into heaven. And the only way we're going to make it into heaven is those sins that we never thought about, those sins that we don't want nobody else to know about, that sin of self-righteousness that I just confessed. We need the blood of Jesus. That's our only hope. But really, in the end, I want us to understand that's really all we need. All Elijah needed to understand was, man, I got God. I ain't worried about Jezebel. I ain't worried about Ahab. I'm the God. I serve the God who's already taken care of my enemies. And for those of you who don't know the end of the story, man, Jezebel had a terrible end. Oh, my goodness. As I said before, and I think I'm not taking this out of context of him, somebody correct me, and I'll go back and study on it. Man, she died, and her blood, she hit the street. And basically, her inwards just kind of spring-loaded and came out. And lo and behold, a pack of wild animals came along and ate it. And he worried about Jezebel. And God can do something so specific to handle that problem. But you got to slow down and eat. You got to eat and take a nap. Slow your mind down. Stop thinking about what else. Stop thinking about bad endings. Stop thinking about worst case scenarios and understand that those who are with us are more than those who are against us. That's what we need to concentrate on. And in doing so, we'll live in that. In doing so, we'll also be a light in this world of darkness. Oh, my goodness, this world is looking for something else. What better time is it to be a Christian? Sometimes we curse the fact that we're Christians now. It's rough. Don't look at it that way. Because if there's any time in this earth that folks are really looking for something other than what this world has to offer, it is right now. And we sit with dynamite in our back pockets and won't use it to blow sin out of folks' lives. That's what Romans 1:16 says, right? He considers the power of the gospel like dynamo, which is where we get the English word dynamite from. And we sit within our pockets and won't use it. Take a nap. Eat and take a nap. Maybe at that point now, you don't know what to do. I'm encouraging you to eat and take a nap. Slow it down a little bit. You and God can handle it. You got it. Don't let it ruin your days. Don't let it steal your peace and joy. Don't let it do these things, because all of these things, whatever it is, are but light afflictions when compared to eternity. When we begin to put in that perspective, oh, that load gets a little easier. I didn't say it wouldn't be easy all the way. I didn't say there would be some hard days. But one thing you'll understand is that the one more day carrying this load, I'm also one more day closer to spending eternity with Jesus. You know, if you were here Sunday night, you missed some blessings on Sunday night. Last Sunday night, for those who were here, I talked about heaven. Let me wrap my mind around it. Help us wrap our mind around it. And I'm going to brief it in about 2 minutes. Not 2 minutes, maybe 1 minute. Do you realize what God has in store for us in heaven? I don't think we do. Now, he describes it in terms that we can understand, but there's some other things in heaven. There's no more tears. No more doctor's appointments. No more funerals. None of these things. And the thing that shields down my spine is that we'll be able to see God and Christ face to face. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine sitting down or standing or floating, whatever it is, when we get our new bodies, being able to talk to Christ face to face, right next to Paul and Timothy and all the rest of them? And you mean to tell me we can't put up with what this earth offers to spend eternity with him? Something wrong with us. Whatever this world throws at us is nothing compared to eternity. And that's what we need to focus our minds. Colossians 3 tells us that, right? Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. And then Christ, who is our life, not a part of our life, who is our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want no more what this world has to offer. It's got some blessings, but it ain't nothing compared to what God has in store for us on the other side in judgment. But the only way you're going to make it is be one of his spiritual children. That's it. Because the next folks, the other group, the vast majority of them, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. So what is taking away your physical strength and your sleep? Give it to God today. Give it to God today. Because worry is a sin. Y'all know that, right? He says, do not worry. Philippians 4, 6. So if we worry, is that transgressing the God's law? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All day long and twice on Sundays. It's easier said than done, I know, but he gives us a solution. He says this, but with everything, with prayer and thanksgiving and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And then it says, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Are you praying about it? Number one. Number two is, are you leaving it there? Because we're some Indian givers. Y'all know that, right? We'll take it back in a heartbeat. That's the solution. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Because in the Christ Jesus makes us new creatures, but from time to time we fall short, we don't measure up. We get like Elijah, and you know what, God? That's it. Because he said it. That's it. I'm finished. I'm just ready to come get. I want to die today. I'm out of here, Lord. I can't take it. Knocking on the door. Let me in. No, sir, no, ma'am. His solution was eat, take a nap. I got you. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. I got you. This Elijah, she ain't nothing to me. If 450 wasn't anything, one more ain't nothing. So the problem that you're dealing with now ain't nothing too well for me. I got it. I want you to get some rest. I want you to let me handle it because that's what I'm there for. So stop trying to do stuff yourself. Stop looking at the whole picture from your physical eyes and learn to look at things through your spiritual eyes. And when you do, you'll be able to see that God is an awesome God. So if you have one desire to put on Christ in baptism, request special prayer, we ask you to please come forward as we